Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
You bitch, it's time to open this door. It's October 6th. It's 2018. One of the lead-off topics today will be such and such, so I'll give it to you in a moment. We never know where it goes here on Waking Up in America, and we always like where it ends up. We're going to be addressing Morgellons, we're going to be addressing chemtrails, and we're going to be addressing full-spectrum dominance of space. And we have the incredible privilege of having Ilana Freeland, author of this book and many other books. If you just open up the cover of her newest book, Under an Ionized Sky, and you look at the table of contents and you go, well, is that one? That's really interesting. Oh, well, we should do a show that one. Oh, that? Okay, we know that one. Oh, yeah, but, and it's like that as you just go through the current context of this lovely woman's work. So we'll be talking with her shortly. There's a few things that we want to get a few miracles and announcements out of the way before we get into the serious stuff. Our special agent, Paul, is actually helping out in the flood zones of North Carolina. For those of you that are following Paul's journeys, he's an amazing human. There's 22,000 victims from the flood. So, hey, Paul, keep up the good work, and thank you. If we're lucky, he may drop in for a moment today. Mike, are you there? Are you available, Mike? Mr. Vitale? Well, because I tried to get Ron Simon to do this with me, okay? Guess what I wanted to do? I wanted you to tout the balloon festival. Remember when we were sitting in studio a while back and you were in the control booth and I was at the mic and the balloon floated by our window?
Oh, yeah, we sang Kumbaya. I remember.
You guys are funny.
Balloons are floating again, baby.
Oh, that was a lot of fun, and it started this morning, and there's a lot of people here in Albuquerque. It's a beautiful day, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I so want to be there.
It's a bucket list thing, Randy.
It is. It is. They're so beautiful. They're just majestic.
Yeah.
They're absolutely majestic to look at, like what you guys have down there.
I thought Ron would have would bring you here to Albuquerque, Dr. Val.
You know what? I think he definitely should. I hear he's at a wedding.
I do, too.
Ron's at a wedding.
He should bring both you guys in.
I'm going to tell
100%.
Him you said that.
Yes.
Well, we got another weekend, so you got time, I think.
I think so, too, because wouldn't it be wonderful? It closes on October the 14th. So wouldn't it be wonderful to be sitting in studio with a balloon goes by again? So we're, all of you out there in radio land, visualize this occurring for us. Randy and I have so many things going on in our lives that it would take generosity and focus to achieve this, and we'd love to have that happen. So thanks for that. Mike, also really quickly before we get into some heavy stuff, I wanted to share the mail miracle, and then after that, Randy is going to share something that she's written, and then we will get to our guest for today, and you know what? We like you so much, Ilana, we'll give you the rest of the time, okay?
Oh,
so
we're okay.
The male miracle. My dog, I love him dearly, and he's 105 years old in dog years. So he's showing serious signs of aging, and they developed really quickly, like falling down the staircase twice and all kinds of stuff, not being able to stand up and pee anymore, you know, things like the important dog things.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get up on the bed. And so I, of course, started mourning and crying. And I don't remember if I cried in your ear or not, Randy, but I did some crying because I thought,
a little.
You know, I'm losing this dog. This dog is really important to me. I can't stand this. There's too much else going on. And then this voice said, okay, aging expert, why don't you try some of your anti-aging tricks on the dog? I thought, well, okay. You know, I always loved that little angel that inspires me to greater things. So I put the dog on Kayani, which is by the Kayani company. I put him on Rebound, which is from Youngevity. I put him on Thrive HGH, which is from Limitless. And I put him on an energy booster that's from Dr. Gundry. But it has to do with some fruits you put together. They're very unique fruits, and they're the red fruits, and that one's for energy. And I put them together. I have a dog that's tap dancing. I have a dog that gets on the bed again. I have a dog that's all excited about life. His eyes were, like, losing energy and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, he just needed some energy. So I'm calling it, I'm developing a Lazarus kit, and I'm going to help you guys develop a Lazarus kit, too. This is the thing I've been thinking about. And tell them who Lazarus is, Randy, if they, not everybody knows.
Didn't he rise from the dead?
Uh-huh.
we have your dog. You should change his name. Because he has come way back. You were telling me, and that's just such a...
Mail is terrific. Here's the deal. I want somebody to put... I would like somebody to help me put together Lazarus kits and just give them to people. And for like a laboratory experiment or something. So I'm looking at forming some kind of a big health group that actually creates Lazarus kits for humans and for pets. Because why the heck shouldn't they come with us? So there. Okay, that I had to share that. Now, that's my mail miracle. After you do your spectacular thing, I'm going to let people... hear about what's coming from our president, okay?
Sounds great. Well, I love it. Thank you. Well, a few weeks ago, I wrote an article called Surviving Dating, A Single Girl's Diary, and it was literally my diary over the last year. And, of course, some things didn't make it to the diary. You know, I didn't think that they were interesting enough. I only put in some things that were interesting. And that article has received incredible attention, thousands of views, in all the places that I posted it. And I was approached and asked, write a follow-up to that. And I love writing. I could be a writer. That's my dream life, is to be a writer. And so I wrote the next article. It was a play off of somebody else's article that was very hardcore feminist-driven, which I'm not. I'm actually very soft, very loving, very passionate. I love love. No one loves love more than me. I mean it. Like, when I'm in love, I love. And so this one was called, or is called, and it's coming out, you know, probably, if not today, by Monday. And it's called 11 Things Strong, Independent Women Want in a Relationship. And it's got a twist of humor in it. And it is very matter of fact. And, you know, a strong, independent woman, it doesn't mean that we're hardcore anything. It just means that we do like to work. We're ambitious. We're motivated. And we want someone that will keep up with us and yet be genuine and true to us while we're doing that. And behind the scenes, we're really super soft and super gentle. And it's not that we don't even necessarily want him to take charge, because we do. I love that in particular. But, you know, in the business world, I have to stand and be very strong. And I tell you some of my personal stories of things that I'm actually dealing with, including up until yesterday, and it's an ongoing event. But,
oh, yeah?
Hey,
I want to hear what happened yesterday.
Well, you know, I have a very big deal, a potential multi-million dollar project. And there is some... How do I want to say it? There's some people trying to get in the way to take over that project. and
they think that they think they would like to have the project themselves and cut Randy out, and I've had that happen
100%.
To me a couple of times.
And, right.
I was actually in leadership in a particular organization, and I built up a huge team, and it was a great team of people in science and technology and stuff. And some guy decided he wanted it and went to the person that was running it, and the next thing I knew, that guy was in, and within something like 25 or 30 days, he had taken a committee of 30 people and reduced it to like 5. And it's hard for strong women to see that kind of stuff, and that's part of why we're strong.
Mm-hmm.
We're strong because we don't want anything like that to happen again, and most of us have had something like that happen. So what Randy's talking about with the looking below the rules or whatever it is that we say that we're firm about is mm-hmm. I'm also looking for somebody that's really interesting to talk to. Aren't you, Randy?
Oh, 100%. 100%. If I go somewhere and the conversation is just, there's like nothing there, or it's on topics that I absolutely find no interest in, you know, like some of these people that I, you know, have
I gotta ask you because I can't help it. On your list, I have to ask you, is mm-hmm. taking out the trash right up near the top?
You know what? You know what was at the very top? You want to know what number one is?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think that a strong, independent woman is, you know, only, you know, into just her girls that are friends or, you know, they're militant-type females. But number one that a strong, independent woman wants is a man. We still want a man. And I even wrote that. I'll read you the first one. Just because they are strong and independent doesn't mean they want to be alone. They want love, passion, romance, a partner to hold their hand and walk through life just like everyone else does. And she's not seeking the average guy. He's going to stand out or he won't be standing by her at all. Something will make him unique to her. Something will set him apart from all the rest. And then read on to find out.
What can I say? We're on a roll. I don't think you should give all 12 of them at once. I think you should just tantalize the heck out of them
Let me quickly say
thank you for that right now, Randy. Let me read this letter, and then let's get into what our incredible guest has to have, because this is just amazing what's going on right now. And, Randy, you can say yes. Randy and I, we welcome military law. We welcome it. We look forward to it. And, you know, throw anything you want in any time about that, Randy. I'm just going to read you a couple of paragraphs. This is a letter that I got just this morning, actually. I believe it goes back to like a day or so before that. And it's, my fellow Americans, over the course of the next several days, you will undoubtedly realize that we are taking back our great country, the land of the free, from the evil tyrants that wish to do us harm and destroy the last remaining refuge of shining light. On POTUS' letter, we have initiated certain fail-safe that shall safeguard the public from the primary fallout, which is slated to occur on the 3rd. There was all kinds of stuff going on. Upon the arrest announcement of Mr. Podesta on the 4th. So all of this is going on, and on POTUS order, a state of temporary military control will be actioned and special ops carried out. False leaks have been made to retain several within the country's confines of the United States to prevent extradition and special operator necessity. Rest assured, the safety and well-being of every man, woman, and child of this country is being exhausted to the fullest. However, and this is where you guys all come in, and this is where you guys can make a difference, if you keep holding the higher space for all of the stuff that we're beginning to reveal and unravel, we can now actually do something about it. So, however, the atmosphere within this country will unfortunately be divided, as so many have fallen for the corrupt and evil narrative that has long been broadcast. We will be initiating the emergency broadcast system, EMS, during this time in an effort to provide a direct message, avoiding the fake news to all citizens. That's what the test on Wednesday was about, to make sure the channels were open. organizations and other people who wish to do us harm during this time will be met with swift fury. Certain laws have been lifted to provide our great military the necessary authority to handle and conduct these operations at home and abroad. I'm just, you know, play it cool, guys. Keep some keep supplies around. But whatever is happening here, it's happening for, it's going to end up with a celebration. There are things like Nesser and Gesser, which you may or may not have heard of. They're programs that will make sure that every human being on this planet, okay, is taken care of. What you're going to hear from in a moment or so is Alana Freeland, who is so well-versed on everything. As I said, I could listen to her every day for a year. So, Alana, welcome to Waking Up in America. Part of why you were so excited was because I was telling them on the conference bridge this morning that you were coming.
Ah, well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, you're totally welcome. I met Alana. Roseanne Mangio, a friend of mine, sent me an email saying that Alana would be speaking in Topanga Canyon, and I went. And Alana, if we could just start with some of the basics. I wanted to just read a little bit about who you actually are to set it up with the audience, like who's actually here and who am I listening to. So Alana Freeland she's a brilliant investigative author, and when you read her table of contents, you'll know why I can say that. She's brilliant, she's defined, and she's got enormous depth to her, who exhaustively documented these programs in her 2014 book, Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. Freeland's new book, Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown, Exposing Geoengineering as a Tool of the Military-Industrial Intelligent Complex for Global Control over All Life on Earth. I mean, rather an enormous subject to do in detail. I know that when I was at the speech, Alana, and you started talking about Margolins. Yes. I practically called up Randy the next day and I looked about and stuff. it made me so creepy when you talked about it, I could hardly stand it. And I was wondering if you could share with our listeners what the little buggers are, where they are, how they got there, and I thought perhaps you might be able to mention the wine test.
Sure, I can start there. I rarely do, which I'm very happy to be able to do that for your listeners. It all started for me when I lived in New Mexico, northern New Mexico, and became friends with one of the primary players first on the scene in this geoengineering crisis back in late, he had been working since the mid to late 90s on what he was seeing coming out of the backs of jets up in the once beautiful blue azure skies of northern New Mexico. And he knew they weren't contrails. Contrail lasts maximum 30 seconds. The altitude is higher, where ice formation can happen. And these were long trails that remained in the sky as they began to sort of filter out into a thin cirrus cloud cover. And he could tell because he had worked for the Department of Defense as a scientist and for the Bureau of Land Management, he could tell the chemistry was certainly not ice crystals and water. So,
have you seen the snow? I saw pictures of the snow that, quote, snow from this air that slid down a slide. It was like, it looked like a plastic strip.
Rubbery plastic, almost.
Oh.
Yes, it's called chemically nucleated snow. And why no children should be allowed to eat snow anymore. Everywhere. It doesn't matter where, unless it's chemically analyzed to be pure snow, which I highly doubt is even possible now after 20 years of geoengineering.
See, after you came to lovely Topanga Canyon and I moved up here so I could get air, you know, trees, yes. stuff like that. And
well, it isn't just the chemicals in the air, and I'll get to that. So I became friends with Clifford. You know, synchronicity in action, because my talks with him, and I had a biology background in undergrad, but I hadn't done anything with it really since then. And he re-inspired my interest in biology, especially when we had I did the red wine test, which is to basically, you can find it on the net, basically clean your mouth very well and then slosh a mouthful of wine, or if you're a teetotaler, you can use grape juice to mostly to dye what is in your mouth. Slosh it around for about 3 to 5 minutes, and then spit it into a perfectly clean glass jar or cup, and then take a look. And probably what you will see is you will see fibers, even though you cleaned your mouth. And those fibers, some of them, will be mobile. You'll see them moving.
Awful. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty shocking when you first realize what's going on. But, of course, someone would immediately think, oh, well, or might think it's just one of the other, maybe it's a flora or fauna in my digestive tract. Maybe it's a parasite. But what Clifford did is by collecting stuff coming down from the sky in his HEPA filter, very good filter at that time, and from precipitation, dew, rain, snow in northern New Mexico, he began analyzing all this stuff with the pretty makeshift equipment he had, because he didn't have those big, powerful microscopes at that time that, of course, the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and CDC, Center for Disease Control, have. So I looked at we then drew my blood, and I looked at my blood. That was the big moment for me, the aha moment, when I was looking over Clifford's shoulder into a 300 power microscope, which was pretty good. And what I saw was this creature from the fiber, because the fiber is the polymer cover of the creature. This creature, Clifford eventually realized it was genetically engineered, because he was able to dissect it, actually, with various agents. And then
it's not even visible to the human eye, is it?
Say it again?
It's not even visible to the human eye, is it?
No. No, but you can
microscope.
See... You can see the fibers.
I mean, when you're dividing up microscopic things, the whole conversation
right.
just becomes
well,
more
yeah,
and more
to
amazing.
To talk about size, there is the micron level, and that's the level that at certain junctures, maybe not 0.01 micron, but you can see something with the naked eye. You might see a dot. You might see a little more than a dot with a larger micron. But these, inside the polymer shell, is the Morgellons genetically engineered pathogen. And as everybody knows, a pathogen is like Ebola or like, you know, some terrible pathogen, but Morgellons appears to have been designed for a very different task than an Ebola outbreak, say. I'll get to that. Then, by seeing it sucking the iron out of my red blood cells, and that's what it was doing, it eats iron. Well, that's not a good thing for us, because iron is the carrier. We need iron for carrying our oxygen in our blood to all of our body so that our lives are very healthy. So that was the moment, and Clifford and I talked about that, even though we had only about, at that time, about 25 people that I'd been able to gather and he'd been able to gather that where we could draw their blood and do the saliva test, do the red wine test. It was enough to, and, you know, he was getting emails and letters from people in different parts of the country that had seen his 2005 film Cloud Cover, and he had written, you know, a few articles and been interviewed on a few radio shows and that sort of thing. This would be by about 2008 when we were in Santa Fe and met. I continued researching, because I had been researching already for some other books I wrote. In a fictional format, but they're really a history of America since Kennedy's assassination. I had been very involved with the assassination of the three kings, I call it, including Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy Jr. So I was really onto it in two files. I had the chemtrails in one file, and I had the HARP in the other file, and HARP is the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project in Gakona, Alaska. Nick Begich and Gene Manning wrote Angels Don't Play This HARP in 1995 to alert whoever to what was being built in their backyard up in Gakona, Alaska. And they did me a big favor because I was reading that book in 96, as I was reading it, I had a military helicopter over my house for 5 minutes, and my phone began clicking. So it was a very, very hot topic in the late 90s.
When that happens, Alana, do you actually get scared?
I was surprised. I was already researching things that my government might not have approved of my researching, like MK Ultra, the mind control program that the CIA was in since 1953, and seems to still be in, even though we're told that it ended in 1973. So I already knew a lot. But when I met Clifford and began to get into the chemtrails, I realized...
Please, we're losing track of a message that I want to get out to the listeners. While this background is amazing, the message about Morgellons and... First of all, we've got these things running around in people's bodies. We don't know where they're getting their messages from, and we can't leave our listeners creeping out with no solution. So
No. I can't leap into the solutions unless they understand the challenge. It isn't just
that they're ugly little things.
It's that they are designed to operate with wireless technology.
Understand that. Where does that? First of all, who's actually giving them the instruction?
That would be NASA. That would be anyone from some of the top corporations, the 10 top corporations that run this country, or have until now. That would be Lockheed Martin that runs the space fence. That would be Raytheon that owns all the patents for many ionosphere heaters. That would be all the other top 10, L3, SAIC. These are all what Eisenhower warned us of the military-industrial complex. They are the ones who own the patents and who have the purse strings, because they contract with the U.S. military and U.S. intelligence in order to make what they call directed energy weapons, chemical biological weapons, all of the weapons that our military is known around the world for, but hardly ever will you see a headline about it in America.
No, I totally get it. And what I want to do is I realize that what we're doing is we're talking to listeners on an intellectual level, and there's also a lot that's going on emotionally, because I know the first time I talked to somebody about these little bots, they just started scratching almost immediately. And I also thought I overheard at that incredible speech you gave that there was some kind of, you could put vinegar or Epsom salt in a tub.
Well, what I do, Morgellons has various phases. And we, because we're not on the classified research list, as many even scientists are not, we have to put things together inductively. So right now, I'm looking at it because I'm writing the third book on this, and that'll probably be the last book I write on this, because I will have exhausted the threads that I've discovered over the last 8 years. I'm writing it on synthetic biology. So what we're doing now is we have discovered certain things, okay? So it definitely responds, as does wireless, to the acid-alkaline ratio in our bodies through our diets, through how we live. Is your whole place wired for wireless? I mean, are you just living in a pool of wireless technology? Then you are creating a stress factor, particularly, and I won't go into detail on it, particularly on the voltage-gated calcium channels in your body. And what that does is it turns your body acidic. And acidity is what Morgellons thrives in. Clifford did many experiments in petri dishes with Morgellons in various solutions to see how they responded. They also reproduce. They also self-replicate. They form a network inside that I think Elon Musk called the neural mesh. So, in order to control it, and I truthfully I don't have a solution, but I know how to control it.
Well, I think it's actually the solution for very many things, and you can say it in one word, and it's called alkaline, okay?
Alkaline.
I do not know of any of these things existing in bodies that normally maintain an alkalinity of 7. That's the dividing line, including cancer.
But, Ilana?
Randy, please, I need to finish the sentence here. Okay, I started playing with cancer, and it's a wave, and what? And I can go in and out of cancer just by getting negative. I can wave into cancer and wave out. And what Elena is bringing to us in this moment is the important, if you took one word out of there and you applied what she said with the background that she's giving you and you listen to the other distinctions that she has in so many fields, you will be absolutely blown away. And over to you, Randy.
Thank you. My question is, does the alkalinity, however, kill them or just make them dormant? And then if you go acidic, they're all back again.
They go dormant. They go dormant because, see, they're not just a biological pathogen. I mean, we're accustomed to those. This one is what Clifford has renamed more correctly, the cross-domain bacteria. What every person who works in epidemiology knows that you can take a bacteria, and it's just a researcher's delight because you can change it, you can genetically alter it, you can do all kinds of things with it, and that appears to be what's happened here. But the cross-domain means that it crosses all three kingdoms of nature here on Earth. So you have something organic and non-organic. It's both. And that's what makes it so that our immune system cannot recognize it. It is as though it is invisible to our million-year-old immune system, which is brilliant. So in our immune system, as you know, by all the antibiotics and all the weird stuff people eat, see, I've been a health nut all my life. I'm 71. I haven't been to a doctor since I was 13. I haven't even taken an aspirin in all these years. So I know that the immune system is my God-given friend. And so I eat in a way, and have for 45 years, once I realized what was going on, I eat in a way that not only keeps my body in a proper acid-alkaline ratio, but I eat so that my immune system stays hearty and strong. So like now I'm on the eighth day of a fast. What you're talking about, Dr. Val, is that what people call you? I kind of like that.
When they're feeling good, okay.
Okay. I was talking about the electrolyte bath, yes. There is a guy named Tony Pantaloresco.
Spell that one for him, please.
Yeah, right, exactly. At least I can say it now. Pantaloresco. He's either Canadian or Australian. I'm not sure, but I think he lives
in
Canada.
That's quite the name.
Quite Italian. He has Morgellons, and when I say has Morgellons, yes, we're all carriers of it. We're all hosts of it. We've all breathed it in from the trails that are being of various things that are being dropped on us. And in that drop, from the jet fuel, from alternate systems, supplementary systems on commercial and military jets, there are sensors in there on a nanoscale. That would be submicron nanoscale. That's what I think I talked about greatly when you heard me in Topanga Canyon, is because I have to take this information in clumps for each talk I give, because there's no way I can put it all together in one talk. That's why, of course, I wrote the book. So the nanoscale sensors, we breathe those in too. Those have been dropped in the stratosphere upper above our atmosphere for military purposes, but we're breathing them in. And it appeared to me years ago when I wrote these books, that the military just didn't care. We were just collateral damage. No, we were a little better than collateral damage in that we would provide a lot of data in our sicknesses and our ailments when we'd go to the doctor, and the doctor wouldn't know what he was looking at, et cetera. So the nanosensors, the microprocessors, these are tiny nanoscale computers, believe it or not, transceivers, they transmit and they receive. So we've breathed all this in. We've got
but
all
here's
that
the
going
question.
On, not just Morgellons.
Ilana, you know, here's the question, and Val, I quote Ed Dames in saying, when I went to see him, one of the greatest speakers ever, absolutely riveting, like you, Ilana. I heard you a couple years ago in a lecture, and I was absolutely wowed by you, so I'm so happy we have you on today. But Ed Dames said that the chemtrails, now this is a Major Ed Dames, he was major in the military,
right,
and
I'm
he's former
with
CIA. He said
remote viewer.
That what, yes, and he said what was in these chemtrails was way worse than he would ever be allowed to explain. And he said there is definitely people in this room right now, and I was at a packed lecture in Orlando, and he said there is people in this room right now that if I say those words will jump up and stop me. So
right.
They would just grab him and whisk him away.
What year was that?
I'm talking maybe 3 years ago. And here's the thing. They're all breathing it, too.
But they have the antidotes.
How do
just
they protect
like they
themselves?
Had the antidotes for AIDS. So
they had it
so
years
yes,
ago.
They will always have the antidotes. And Ed Dames was right, because I would say it was more than 3 years ago. But
it
what's
has been
happened
3 years
now,
already. It just... So close still.
So yeah. So I'll go back to the bath, because that was important to you, Dr. Val. The bath is an electrolyte, and what you do is you put in varying the same ratio, but you're going to have to figure out what works best for you, of sea salt, Epsom salts, and boron. Or borax. You can use borax, the laundry
detergent.
But see,
borax is an alkaline, so why would you put that in with the sea salt and the Epsom? Because those are more acidic. Doesn't
you're going to make...
counter?
No, actually, salt is very alkaline. You're going to make an electrolyte bath, and what that means, that's E-L-E-C-T-R-O-L-Y-T-E. An electrolyte bath is a slightly electrified chemical bath. And that's what's going to, it's going to do several things. It's going to open up your skin. You don't have to have it hot, but you at least have to have it warm, a warm bath. It's going to open up your skin, which is a vessel, a respiratory vessel, in case nobody knows. It breathes in, it breathes out. It is connected in Chinese medicine to the liver. So right away, you're setting up something where the liver is the organ probably that is most taxed by having these pathogens in the body. So then what Tony Pantelaresco has done now, originally people were just doing the bath. And then he found another very important part, and I'm not saying he's got the monopoly on ideas. We're all struggling and experimenting, looking at our bodies like petri dishes now, like test tubes. We are chemical labs because we're confronted by an era in which this chemical soup has been imposed, that I call the ionized sky, has been imposed upon our atmosphere and the air we breathe. So we're all scrambling to find ways to ameliorate these pathogens in our body, plus get out the nanoparticles that we have breathed in. That's important as well. It isn't just the Morgellons that's important. But I would say that the people with the lesions, and you can go on the web and find really scary looking lesions and people struggling, and you know, I'm in touch with some of those people, and some people have died, some people have committed suicide, but those are the people that in me it's dormant, it's non-active on my skin. That's why when some people with Morgellons go to doctors, the doctors will think it's a skin ailment, but it isn't a skin ailment, it's much more than that. And when it arrives at the surface of the skin, I used to not know what that meant. Did that mean my immune system was stronger and it wasn't arriving at the skin? Does that mean their body was stronger and they were throwing it off through the skin? I really couldn't figure it out. But I have decided that when it reaches the skin, it is the overflow. There are two things going on. It's either the overflow of the liver coming to the skin now and trying to get rid of it that way. And see, in that, in what I just said is a very important fact, that the immune system is so brilliant in the body that it is already learning from these pathogens in the body. It is already aware of them to some degree and is attempting to help us. So if it comes out the skin, the other thing that is very possible, and I've talked to some Morgellon survivors, one being a former professor at UC Santa Cruz, she has Morgellons, that the opinion is that the electromagnetism now free-floating in our wireless society that we can't do without our entertainment and our fancy little phones, by the way, I don't own one, is that it is stimulating. It can be used, I'll put it that way, it can be employed to stimulate the Morgellons in the body. And
well,
I myself, that would be remotely, that would be from someone outside my area. Say it again.
I've lost track of it. I am so sorry. But what's happening is that I understand 5G actually is on a frequency that disturbs the water molecules in our body and it will cull us over time. Do you have any comment on that?
Oh, yes, yes. I have many comments on 5G because I've spent a great deal of study on it to figure out what its role is in this scenario I'm painting, this Frankensteinian scenario. And I do believe that the 5G is the linchpin because it is millimeter wave and will be using the Internet of Things, which most people are now surrounded by, certainly in the cities. certainly in the towns, certainly in neighborhoods. The Internet of Things, of the fancy cars with the all the computers in them, the washing machine computer, the dishwasher computer, the television, the everything we're surrounded by that we've grown to love as a wonderful convenience. The millimeter waves, if they can get those smaller antennas up, and by the way, you will not be able to see them. They may tout, and more than anything else in this technology, that has been smeared over many headlines, and no one has had trouble being shut down for having blown the whistle on 5G, which made me suspicious from day one. It either means that 5G, we already have it, and it's in our 4G cell phones, and it's like they have a paint that can paint on antennas now. There are many subtle and sneaky ways to get the antennas up, that it will be able to use the Internet of Things for more power and be able to actually cause the Morgellons pathogens and everything else in us to be stimulated. So more people may feel that under the skin, creepy crawly feeling. They may have other symptoms as their immune system is grappling with this, like headaches, you know, all the symptomatology we have about electrosensitivity, Lyme's disease, the growth of Lyme's disease is connected.
President of the United States, and tell him that they want him to disarm these little bombs. Okay, I really want to step out. I mean, the fact that my skin's crawling. Okay, at the same time, it's crawling into a future of just on that one subject, we could go on and on. The deal is, we've got listeners out there, and this is a global conversation. It's probably happening in many countries of the world. And what we want you to know is I'm counting on our president, Randy, and I'm sure you are too.
Yes.
If you want to see President Trump right now, I'll jump in after you.
Yes, I've watched
President Trump, and I don't think, I can't believe he's being properly informed. So I'll say about that.
See, why I want the listeners of this radio show to go to our president, because I believe that man, whether you love him or hate him, actually listens and gets a heck of a lot done.
Yes.
And I think we'd already be dead potatoes if it wasn't for him. And I'm already welcoming martial law, because maybe it means we can extract these evildoers right out. And the information,
well,
can feel the skin crawling. Randy, go for it. What is it?
I feel like I need to jump in there. On the borax, I just want to say, for those that are listening, don't just go jump into a borax bath for half an hour. It's a 9.3 pH, which is great, but you can only handle that for about 15 minutes before you start to burn.
Yeah, you need the other things with it. You can't have...
And you guys, we've got only... And we have to get certain things delivered to the public. So... the website that was given to you early, go there and heed what Randy had to say about the borax, and go to the website and do that. But what's most important is that you start letting the forces that be, that you support what they're doing. Here's the issues that they need to take care of, whatever it is you want to do, and you're going to create a truth wave right over. In fact, that's Randy's new show, has something to do with truth. And
yes.
We can actually create love and truth. We've got grizzling, skin-crawling facts, okay? And now we need to get moving. And if those little buggers bouncing around inside of you aren't good enough to get you going, I don't know what is. Over to you, Randy.
And Ilana, you may be right on this mix. So just, you know, they just got to be careful on the borax. You were phenomenal. I could talk forever. I'd love to have you back for, like, 15 more shows. So, thank you so much.
Love you dearly. We're in closing credits, which are, this program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media, Radio Partners, Funding Company.com, Happily200.com, HeavenIncorporated.com, Anavon Rides, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Dr. Joel Wallach, Sheriff Richard Mack, Tippi Hedren Cash, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Wolfgang Holbig, William P. Dunn, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene Carroll, Jane Goodall, Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Chris Burgard,
Paul the Plumber, Terry Cole Whitaker, Sherry St. Vincent, Lonnie Hogan Miller, Sherry Sharifi Brown, Roger Stone, David R., descendant of King David, RandyShannon.com, Edward F. Group III, Shalene Nightingale, DrValerie.com, and Doctors All Spelled Out. Thanks to Paul C. Bragg for leaving us your daughter, Patricia, to continue your work. Big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jeff Spinard, our producer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, and Ron Simon, our research, Rockin' Red, Ron Hayes. To John Young at Totally Gospel, big thanks for all the airtime and friendship you've given over the years.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through, now your heart is open.